What I've been arguing here is that it's in the strong light of a very clear goal that strategy is revealed, the strategy's worth tested. Without a very clear goal, strategy becomes an expression of play acting. Folks, whether good-hearted or no is irrelevant, wanting to play hero or actually being heroic, but having very limited or no effect on the deep roots, without knowing where to go. And so, abstract notions like socialism or democracy are seized and posed as the goal, but which are empty of practical content, which stay-at-homes is full of, isn't it? I mean, real practical, like a suspension of how people put food on the table, how people feed themselves. You don't get more concrete than that. So we find folks advocating these empty abstract concepts, which are empty of practical content. There is no workable plan to get there, to the goal, because there is no there. Often very practical strategists, folks based in concrete reality, like Madiba, like Miklos, like Barak, who base their analysis on the objective conditions of the society they are in, are misunderstood and maligned by pundits who, by definition, as they cannot face their own collaborationist role, the conditions they are themselves enmeshed in, are themselves very poor strategists and deeply confused about their subjects. I was incensed, for instance, by Bruno Bettelheim's foreword to Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a Doctor's Eyewitness account, which we will begin reading next week, following our preface, an excerpt from Dreams of Trespass, Tales of a Harem Girlhood by Fatima Mernissi. In blog 50, I wrote, "And Miklos Nisley's been horribly maligned by Bruno Bettelheim, who misunderstands Nisley colossally. I can't help but wonder what's become of the ability to perceive subtlety. It's beyond infuriating to read his way of describing folks caught in the death trap of the mindset of abandonment. None of us knows what the state will do. We can't control that any more than Nisley could. But just as he did, we keep going while we're breathing and firmly refuse the division work they'll pay us to do." And that's from Wading Into the Muck of State, blog 50, which brings me back to this red herring tactic of violence. What happened following the stay-at-homes, I believe in response to the stay-at-homes, is that just as we saw here in Oakland after the general strike, after Occupy Oakland's successful general strike, violence proved effective means for power to destroy the unity of a popular resistance movement. I think we will see that so long as we keep to our given nation-state boundaries narrowly, our resistance can be effectively managed by those individual nation states, not by the use of agents instigating violence merely, but because individual states don't represent a large enough share of the global economy to tip the resistance into a definitive challenge to power globally. With the exception of one, this one, the United States. Just as the election of Barack sent a bolt of hope across the world. An ex-programmer at KPFA was in Paris at the time, and he was in a cafe. And after the election of Barack, he saw posters go up that said, "Pourquoi pas nous?" We forget. We're gonna perhaps get a sense of how completely that caught power by surprise, and how completely it challenges their story, their narrative. Believe me, they are trying hard to be able to write a history that says Barack's was a failed presidency. I mean, they're doing everything they can. No way. Please. I mean, they think they can brainwash. They think that each new generation can be conned afresh. And because it's been the case, they've rewritten the history they want. They've written it, put it in the books, taught it to the children. And we don't have the resources to marshal an effective response. So our little voices of protest go up in these little isolated, very, very contained spots called the left. And I mean, in the broad sense, we've been hemmed in by their possession of the narrative, the overall narrative, and their money. You can see how fast they're moving to get a complete lockdown on education. This is why they can tell youth what they want about our human story. And why we're here as living things. They can control the narrative. We have the means now. If we consolidate our efforts within a single frame, getting free, freedom from necessity, because if you don't have freedom from necessity, you ain't free. And I heard this little news snippet, I believe it was from Peru, where they were trying to say that these folks who had to pay to use their park, even though the elites, their parks are open and free. And they kept using this word leisure. You know, we have leisure now because they have a park they have to pay to get into after work. Please, they are trying fast to capture that word leisure, to make it mean spare time after work, outside of work. We have to move to reclaim our lives and reclaim the definitions. Leisure means freedom from necessity, period. Just as the election of Barack sent a bolt of hope across the world, a general strike here will electrify the world.